Well, it's July already. Summer's just whizzing right by us. And we've had a tradition here that started up a few months ago at Robin Hood Radio, where we sit down and take some time with Amy Besgy, who is with the Housatonic Valley Health District, Director of Health there, to talk about some of the things that are important for the particular time of the season, anything that may be on the radar for health that you might want to be keeping an eye out for. And we're always happy to talk with her, and she's always very informative. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much, Mike, for having me back.
Well, the first thing in your newsletter this month, I kind of chuckled a bit because it has to do with sun safety. And of course, nowadays we buy things that protect us called sunscreens. But when I was growing up, and we always had suntan lotion.
We hear horror stories of the past of what people used to do. They used to sit out back with the reflectors and just make sure they could get as much sun as possible. And what we
Exactly.
know now is we do not want to be doing that anymore.
Yeah, and I just that's why I chuckle that because I remember as a kid we'd get the suntan lotion for my mom and she had the reflectors and everything. And I'm going, not today. So let's talk a bit about sun safety.
Absolutely. So July is UV Safety Awareness Month. And as we all know, summer is just a great time to get outside and it's healthy to be outside. So we want to make sure we're taking advantage of the season. We're going outside to the beach. Maybe we're working in the yard, attending a sporting event, or maybe just spending some nice time with our family. But when we're outside, it also means that we're at an increased risk of exposure to ultraviolet or UV rays from the sun. So too much UV rays exposure can cause sunburn, as I'm sure we've all experienced, hopefully not frequently or in large doses, which can damage our skin and our eyes and lead to premature aging of the skin that increases the risk, unfortunately, for skin cancer. The good news is that there are special or there are simple steps, rather, that everyone can take to enjoy the outdoors while still protecting our health. So, making sure we're doing things like wearing sunglasses, we're putting on that sunscreen, and we're using a broad spectrum sunscreen with SPF 30 or higher. We're lathering up in a generous amount to all exposed skin, and we're doing this 15 minutes before we're going outside and reapplying every 2 hours or immediately after swimming, because getting in that water can get a little bit of that sunscreen off our skin, and we want to make sure we're putting it back on if we need.
Now, what would you say generally would be the average SPF?
So, it's really going to depend on you, your skin type, and what your past experiences have been. I will say, in my family, I'm particularly fair skinned, so I go for a little bit of a higher SPF, usually 50 around that area, but we do say 30 or higher is what's recommended for everyone.
Okay, you heard it here, guys. Next up, I noted, and this is interesting considering, especially since Amy and I are talking in the second week of July at this point, and we've just been through the 4th of July weekend, which was tough for some people around, that the governor has declared in New Haven, Fairfield, and Middlesex counties a drought situation or approaching a drought situation. Are we going to maybe experience the same thing here?
It is potentially likely. Like you said, Fairfield, Middlesex, and New Haven counties have entered that stage two drought conditions, and it's possible and perhaps probable for other areas of the state as well. So, what we recommend doing, and it's certainly advantageous to do this ahead of time, but definitely for these portions of the state, doing things like cutting back on outdoor water use by reducing or eliminating lawn irrigation and washing of vehicles, finding and fixing any leaks that might exist on your home's plumbing system. So anything like toilet fixtures, I know mine was running a little while back, we had to fix that. Plumbing, appliances, things like that, making sure there aren't any leaks that are going on over time. And a good way to tell this is if your water bill is going up, you may have a leak. Limiting time used to bathe and shower, using dishwashers and clothes washers only when there's a full load, turning off water while washing the dishes or brushing teeth, et cetera, so we're not leaving that water running while we're doing other tasks. Timing water use to spread out over the entire day, And considering the installation of low flow water fixtures and energy efficient water using appliances, I would recommend for our folks that have a private well to go to our website. There's a section on water and on safe drinking water. There's some information there for private well users for how they can make sure that they're preventing their wells from running dry when we're in a bit of a drier season.
Yeah, and I would imagine, especially with your private wells, when they dry like that, you probably have an increased risk of possible contamination, wouldn't you?
So what we recommend just to stay safe is that all private well owners test their water for things like coliform E. coli bacteria on an annual basis. So, you may see more bacteria come in when it's a drier season. What we saw a couple of years ago when there was pretty significant flooding, that unfortunately caused an increase in some of the well contamination issues when it comes to bacteria. So what we say as a rule of thumb is test your well water once a year.
And where would you find those test kits?
So we recommend going through a certified lab. If you go on the ctdph.gov website, they have a list of certified labs that are available throughout the state of Connecticut.
I noticed also we have you have a public health update this month. The CDC recalls Nera Organics whole milk organic infant formula due to links of infant botulism. Have we got any of that around here?
So this fortunately was limited to three states, California, Pennsylvania, and Washington. But that being said, it's important to be mindful in other states as well. It means it was only found so far as of June, in those three states. So what we say is do not wait for additional testing to be done or any type of laboratory confirmation. What we recommend is not using any Nera organic whole milk organic infant formula. So any unopened cans that you might have on your shelves, the ones that were impacted were sold both by Target and at Nera.com. If you have any of this infant formula on your shelves, please throw it out. Please do not use it.
And I note they sold this, what, between July 25th and June, or between July 2025 and June of 2026. So that's a long range of product sale.
Correct. We're looking at going back about a year, and through June 2026 when they identified this issue.
Okay. Well, now people know. So if you're using that formula, you might want to double check. Next thing up, 4th of July fireworks. I know we're past the 4th already here as we're speaking. However, people tend to have fireworks going on through the month of July, and I know some people that even do them on Labor Day. So I think it's important to talk once again about the fireworks safety precautions you should be living by.
Definitely. And I will tell you, Mike, they're certainly still going off in my neighborhood. So we want to remind everyone, if you're going to use fireworks, do it as safely as possible. Buy only legal consumer fireworks from reputable retailers. Never use anything like homemade, altered, or any type of illegal firework, and always follow the instructions on the label. Make sure we're keeping children away from fireworks, including sparklers. Sparklers, I think people sometimes feel are a little bit safer, but we need to know that they actually burn at temperatures of about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which is hot enough to melt some metals. So this can cause serious burns in seconds. So keep everyone away from these, but especially children who may not be as cautious. Keep water nearby. If we're setting off fireworks, have a bucket of water or a garden hose ready in case of fire or to safely soak any used fireworks. Never use fireworks while impaired by alcohol or drugs. Make sure that we're lighting just one at a time, then moving away quickly. We're not doing things like leaning over a firework while lighting the fuse. We're not aiming, throwing, or pointing fireworks at people, animals, or buildings. Never hold, wear, or attach fireworks to your body or clothing, and make sure we're only using them as directed by the manufacturer. This is a really important tip too, Mike. Don't do things like relighting a dud. So if you light a firework, it doesn't go off and you think, oh, I'm just going to try to relight it. Please do not do that. Wait at least 20 minutes, then soak it thoroughly in water before disposing of it. The safest way to celebrate, though, and we will say this, is leaving the fireworks to the professionals and enjoying public fireworks displays in your community as opposed to setting them off yourself. This is typically a little bit better for our animal friends too, who may be scared of fireworks.
Yes, I know a lot of people are concerned about that. I know Salisbury was due to do a laser light show on the 4th of July as opposed to fireworks, for somewhat of that reason. And some people, in fact, it's been pointed out, who have been to war zones and suffer from PTSD, can also be bothered by that. I really wasn't aware of that, but it's an interesting point.
Yes, certainly.
Now we have a little bit of updating to do. It may be something on our radar, but you have it in the newsletter. There are updates for the hantavirus, and also the talk a little bit about the screw worm issue.
So, what New World screwworm is, and this is something that people might be hearing a little bit about more recently, again, we're reminding the public to stay informed, not alarmed. New World screwworm is actually a parasitic fly whose larvae or maggots can infect warm-blooded animals. So typically, this infects things like livestock, pets, wildlife, but very rarely humans. Unlike most maggots that feed on dead tissue, New World screwworm is unique because they feed on living tissue. The adult female fly will lay eggs near an open wound, including very small wounds like scratches, tick bites, or potentially when we're in an agricultural setting, a newborn animal's umbilical area. So this is something of note that farmers and folks who work in the agricultural setting should pay attention to. Why we're talking about it now is because New World screwworm was actually eradicated in the United States back in the 1960s. This took a major coordinated effort. Which actually included the release of sterile male flies, was how they eradicated this, just kind of an interesting fact. Unfortunately, however, in recent years, the parasite has started to spread northward again through parts of Central America and also in Mexico, which raises concerns about the potential for reintroduction to the United States. So this is something, again, more common in pets, in agricultural settings, but because of this reintroduction, we just want to be mindful of the New World screwworm.
Now, when that, how does that come this way? Is it the flies actually migrating, or how would that get here if it was going to come here?
So yes, migrating, and then also when the flies themselves impact livestock or wildlife, and the livestock and wildlife is migrating, anything that's laid eggs and is currently feeding off of that living tissue of livestock, it can transmit from livestock to livestock in that way as well.
Back to Hanta for a moment. Hantavirus, anything new on that?
So the good news, I know folks have probably heard some information about hantavirus from the cruise ship incident that had occurred at this point, maybe a couple of months ago. Exciting news is on June 21st, all United States citizens that were potentially exposed to hantavirus aboard this cruise ship finished their 42-day monitoring period. After this period, it was determined by the CDC that no cases of hantavirus disease occurred in the United States as a result of this outbreak. So that's fantastic news.
Anything else we'd like to cover this today?
So just because it's so topical, Mike, I just want to mention just the recent heat wave and unfortunately some of those 4th of July storms that occurred. So every month in our newsletter, we have some information about staying updated in an emergency. As we saw so recently, summer weather can bring things like extreme heat. I know we felt that. Powerful thunderstorms. Unfortunately, a lot of parts of the state were impacted by that. Flash flooding and occasionally tropical storms as well. So we recommend definitely, connecting with our newsletter and also making sure that we're subscribed to things like Eversource to UI. And if there is an instance of a power outage or any type of emergency situation that's could impact our parts of the state, you will get those outage alerts as quickly as possible. As you and I, Mike, were talking about before we started, unfortunately, this is can be difficult in situations where people have lost Wi-Fi, lost power, and don't have cell phone service. But ideally, for folks who are able to connect with Eversource to UI, you can get on the website, check what's going on in your region. We want everyone to be able to stay as updated as possible with those utility companies.
And as Amy said, websites, they have a website, the Housatonic Valley Health District. It is hvhdct.gov. We're privileged each month to talk to Amy Bestge, the Director of Health at the Housatonic Valley Health District. Thank you for July, and we'll talk to you again in August.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Mike.